Welcome to the weekend edition of the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. Today's podcast features all the best segments from this week's slate of Undisputed. With in-depth interviews and discussions, we have a lot to talk about heading into next week. Skip, Shannon, let's get to it.
Keegan-Michael Key back with us. You can catch Keegan hosting Brain Games on Nat Geo this winter. So tell us quickly about that.
So Brain Games is a television show that is all about how the brain works and why it works the way it does in any given situation. And we have episodes that are thematic. So an episode about, there's an episode called Battle of the Sexes and an episode about performance. And in that episode, actually, we have Drew Brees. Drew Brees is our guest, and it's about reaction time, performance, tracking one, two or three things at the same time and how the human brain does it and how the athlete's mind is different than other minds genetically.
Oh, that's interesting.
Episodes on love and attraction. So it's really, I love, it's weird. When I'm by myself and I have time to read, I typically find myself reading books, often reading books about Formula One racing and neurobiology. So it was a really perfect fit for me, and I enjoy it so much. It's a fascinating show.
That's cool.
And a great show to watch with your kids.
I'm looking forward to seeing that. Also, we have some video of you.
We have video?
Yeah, in full Rams gear. Now, I'm not exactly sure what's happening here, but I would like you to walk us through.
Okay, all right.
Because you look like a natural.
Yeah, we were shooting a package for another show I was doing. Look at this. Oh. I one-stepped it. I just took one step. And it's a package we're shooting for a show I'm doing for CBS, and we're doing these really fun field pieces. And here's the thing. I've been watching field goal kickers do this my entire life. Right. So everyone's like, how did you get the form? I'm like, that's just repetition. I've been watching guys do that.
But wait, you head-onned it. I didn't soccer it.
I toed it.
And you nailed it?
And my leg still hurts because it requires muscles
I didn't know
I had. It is so difficult. You just got to get under the ball and get lift. If you get lift, you've got a chance to get it to go. Now, you notice I pulled it a little bit.
Yeah.
I pulled it a little bit,
but
I got it through. But it went through.
Yeah.
It went through. And that's right there, Steven Jackson, Orlando Pace, and Torrey Holt. That's who taught me how to field goal kick.
And this was first time? This was the one-shot deal?
It was a one-shot deal.
Woo.
And when we got to the stadium, there was nobody there.
Right.
I'm like, oh, I'm good. I just practiced. Yeah. I'm still feeling kinesthetic about this. And then by the time we got, I was like, guys, are we going? And by the time we walked out there, you start waving, there's 35 people out here. Right. People are just trickling in. Right. But it was...
Well done.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
Absolutely. I tried to soccer kick him in practice. I mean, don't get fancy.
Yeah. No.
Get your foot on the bottom of that ball. Get your foot on the bottom of the ball and lift that thing up.
Speaking of that stadium, last night there was this young man named Lamar Jackson.
Who's this young man?
Yes.
We have dedicated pretty much this whole show to talking about how he has revolutionized pro football. Your quick take on him.
I think he is a phenom. I will say this. One of my favorite things about football is now in the next two seasons, we get to watch defenses adapt to a mobile quarterback. Through my life as a football fan, my favorite thing is watching defenses and defensive coordinators adapt to a mobile quarterback. Fran Tarkenton, Donovan McNabb, Michael Vick.
Yep.
And somebody said, yesterday or Saturday, someone said, don't compare Lamar Jackson to anybody but himself. Let him be who he is. And I can't remember who said it, but I think that is apt and wise knowledge for us to put forward. Because I feel that he has both skill sets, and I think as he gets older and comes into his role, he's going to become more dangerous. But that's the thing, is I love the chess game. Because I love that the chess game doesn't stop when football season ends.
No.
It's just trying to figure out what's the wrinkle here, or how do we chip that guard, or is there a way to seal him in, or if he runs, what do the safeties do? Mm-hmm. And it'll take two or three seasons, and then someone will figure it out, and then it gets really interesting. Mm. But he is a phenom. I think he is the real deal, and I don't have a prediction as to what they'll do in the playoffs, but my feeling is them going deep into the playoffs is, all right, I'll say it. I think it's a foregone conclusion. I really do.
That?
And also that they will go deep. that they will go. I would not be surprised. I understand that the Patriots are 10-1. I get it. Yeah. But I'm not surprised. I would not be surprised if they were in the AFC Championship game. Mm. I also
probably be at Tom Brady's
At Tom Brady's house, yeah. Also, I love this. I love all this with Mark Ingram. Mm. Yeah. Mark Ingram did a my producing partner and I made a thing for the Pro Bowl. And I made a thing for the Pro Bowl a couple years ago. And Mark Ingram is a very good actor. Really? I just want to say that. Yeah, he's really, he's dynamic, but he also knows when to be subtle. I mean, the guy's, he has a career after football in front of the camera, Mark Ingram.
That's interesting.
Mm. Yes.
So, speaking of Tom Brady.
What doing over there?
Yeah, we haven't heard from Shannon Sharp here lately. Because,
Shannon's been so sweet.
Yeah, there's this
to
guy.
To let me, John, oh. talk.
A guy named Tom Brady who's 42 years of age and his team is 10-1. Shannon gives the defense all the credit for that. Are you surprised at the level at which he continues to play?
I am mildly surprised. I would like to jump in the backseat of Shannon's defense car. I think they are the ones. I mean, I really do, Skip. It's been interesting seeing. We're not used to seeing the Patriots win a game and have the final scoreboard be like a 1-7, 17, 24.
13.
Or win a game in which the quarterback doesn't throw a touchdown pass, but the receiver does. Mm. But that's none of my business. I don't even know why I brought that up, Keith. Go ahead. I'm out of turn. I'm out of place for talking.
It is, I think that we're actually seeing a man under center in New England who's a human being. I do. I mean, eventually, it's wear and tear. I mean, what are you going to do eventually? But also, he's lost some key components in his receiving core.
Like all of them?
Like
except Edelman? Yeah.
Except for Julian. Oh, it's funny. It's almost like Julian is to Tom what Michael Thomas is to Drew. Mm-hmm. Right. And I understand. I think that he still has, I think he still certainly has gas in the tank, but they got to help him. They got to help him. You're right. The defense is
key. He on fumes. He riding on fumes.
I agree.
The light on. Mm-hmm. The light on. Now, you can wait. You can pull it to the gas station, Skip, which is the end of this year, or you can keep trying to ride. It's going to push it outside the road at some point next year.
So are you now predicting this is the end of the line for Tom Brady?
In New England. I've said that before.
Okay. Well, why wouldn't it be the end of the line, period?
Because somebody else think they got something. Because you can fool somebody else. Because remember, Skip, Andy thought it was the end of the line for Peyton. Yeah. But he went and other teams wanted him.
Fair.
Somebody else will think he still have something in the tank. But Coach Belichick says, nah, we fool.
Okay, but wait a second.
No vacancies here for you.
Denver said, yeah, Peyton, we'll take you. And what happened?
And Coach Belichick.
MVP happened.
But Coach Belichick says, okay, somebody else can take that on. I'm building now. I'm going to build this bridge out for the foreseeable future. Mm-hmm. I got another year, and then I get stuck. I'm supposed to have Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm supposed to have 15 years of Jimmy Garoppolo. That's what he's supposed to have.
You really want that?
Yes. He want it.
Okay, what do you keep telling me is the one fatal flaw for the San Francisco 49ers? Jimmy Garoppolo.
But he wouldn't be that in Coach Belichick.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yep. So, Shannon, if Garoppolo was supposed to be there.
Yep.
That's 100% true.
Yeah.
Now, since he is not, how long does Belichick stay in New England?
Belichick's... Both guys are trying to wait the other guy out because I want to get the credit for this success.
Yep. Mm.
And so now we're going to find out. Coach Belichick's, I'm going to coach now. I said I wasn't going to coach till I'm 70, but now I feel reinvigorated. I'm going to coach that.
Extended.
Now you hear Tom talking about, I'm going to play until I'm 47. See, the other guy's trying to wait.
They're trying to wait.
Because if I can win one without you, I'm going to get the lion's share of the credit for this team's success.
Which, of course, would motivate Tom Brady if he went anywhere. I mean, he'll always be a lion. He'll always be a competitor. I tell you what, if what you're saying is true, and I believe it is, because I haven't, it's so funny, I haven't thought of it that way, that they're waiting each other. It's just a game of chicken. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine if someone traded Tom Brady to the Jets? He'd take the Jets to the playoffs.
Mm.
I said, way.
He'd take the Jets to the playoffs. He'd take the Jets to the playoffs.
I would like to see a trade of Tom Brady to the 49ers and Jimmy G back to Belichick. And then let's tee it up and see what happens.
Oh, yeah.
That's not going to happen.
Why not?
Why would I give up 1 year for 12?
Huh? Well, hey, one Super Bowl for whatever.
You got a potential of 3 or 4. Ain't no guarantee.
Huh?
You got 43-year-olds.
With the 49ers, Tom might win 3 straight Super Bowls.
No, he won't.
Yep.
He ain't playing three more years. This is
without
it.
Him.
They're doing they're doing pretty good.
Without Tom.
Again, another defense.
Exactly.
So another dominant.
Switch gears to college football. Again, you grew up a University of Michigan fan in Detroit, yes. but you attended Penn State University.
Yes.
Quick thought on
ambivalence here.
Yeah. Ohio State just took care of your team barely.
Yeah, it's barely a good game.
Your
it's
backup
a good
game. Quarterback, he put some
he did.
Plays on him, man.
Yeah.
But now we got Ohio State at Michigan. Got feeling on that game.
I feel I don't see anybody stopping Ohio State mm-hmm. this year until they get to the playoff. Talk about the consistency. Talk about a college program that's doing what Belichick is talking about. Mm-hmm. They just keep lining everybody up. I don't understand how they do the recruiting they do.
Kind of like Alabama?
Incredible. Mm.
Yeah, what's it?
Kind of like Alabama. We're not out of it. We know the Alabama Invitation is coming up pretty soon.
Oh, really?
Right? College football playoff. That's what you call it, Alabama.
How did you do it that last year?
We go every year. We can't win it every year. They're going to cut it out.
You keep losing.
How you going to win your own tournament? You can't keep starting all your own movie. People going to start watching. I already know how you going to do it. I'll let somebody else
I
do it.
I want you to star in your own movie.
We will this year.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm afraid.
You'll let somebody else start.
I'm afraid the Ohio State looks pretty invincible.
Ohio State looks good. Well, LSU looks good.
Yeah.
Don't count Clemson out.
No, and I wouldn't. I don't know. So, no, the other thing is, look, they're going to win the Big Ten. I mean, who are they even going to play in the West?
Either it could be Minnesota or Wisconsin based on this weekend.
Wisconsin want no more parts of it.
And, you know, we saw what – yeah. It's a hard one, regardless.
They're going to come out on top. I'll tell you, my feeling right now is the Big Ten championship game is going to be a blowout. And then the Big Ten championship game is going to be a blowout. Then my fear, this is what I always get – because then what happens is – and anybody watching from Michigan, you forgive me – but when we get into bowl season, then I become a Big Ten guy. Mm-hmm. I want a good Big Ten record at the right. end of the at the end of the mm-hmm. the bowl season.
Right. Sure.
Okay, right. So I will, I'll root for Ohio State, and I get nervous in the playoff because who did they lose to? A few years back, that was
they lost to Clemson, didn't they?
It was Clemson.
Oh yeah,
right. It was Clemson. Ago? I'm getting nervous. Mm. I don't want that to happen again. Because it's
had they been challenged.
It's that weird SEC Big Ten thing.
Yeah, you know we do. Yeah, in fact, we're not.
SEC
Alabama, LSU, Georgia. Loaded. Florida.
Just me, I'd like to see Jim Harbaugh rise up and win one for once this Saturday.
This Saturday.
Yeah.
It would be epic if that happened.
And just so you guys know, snow in the forecast for me on that one Saturday.
It'll be like 20 degrees.
This is going to be
flurries all over the place.
Big Ten.
Yeah. Ohio State lose, boy, the college football player will be.
That would be.
All right, Keegan, I wish we could keep you all day.
So do I.
I love
good to
be
have
here.
You. Oh, really
congratulations
appreciate everything.
On everything. Way
yeah,
to go.
You are a busy guy, so enjoy your holidays.
No mercy.
So the Ravens had a big statement win with their 45-6 victory over the Rams last night, but the 49ers also cemented their status as one of the best teams in the NFL by throttling the Packers on Sunday. And this weekend on Fox, these two teams will meet in what could be, how about a little Super Bowl preview? So Shannon, which of these teams has a better chance to make a playoff run, a deep playoff run, Ravens or 49ers?
Skip, I'm going to take the Ravens and I'm going to tell you why. When I look at the playoff, the first thing I go to is I look at the quarterback. And I believe I trust, currently right now, I trust Lamar more than I trust Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy has 14 turnovers, which is fifth most in the NFL. And you know you turn the ball in the playoffs, you pay double.
Mm.
And there have been games this year, they've won, but he hadn't played well because he's turned the ball over.
Yep.
And that's what happened against the Russell Wilson, I mean, when they lost to Seattle. Turned the ball over. You can't put the ball in harm's way. And him having to go probably having to go through Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, I just think the road would be tougher for the 49ers. And I trust Lamar Jackson currently because he's playing unbelievable. Now, and both teams look like they're on a magic carpet ride, Skip. But I just, in a situation like this, I'm going to trust Lamar Jackson a little more than I trust Jimmy Garoppolo. Mm. So I think their style will travel because they can run it.
Mm.
They can run it. And everybody says, well, okay, we're going to stop your run. Okay, well, good luck with that. When you run the ball for 210 yards a game, that's not an accident.
Mm.
That's a commitment to that. That's a physical style of football, and he throws it well enough. And he's getting better at throwing the football. So I would trust the Ravens more than I trust the 49ers.
So I do agree with this. These are the two late November out of nowhere buzzsaw teams. They have both caught fire, and they both eye test like two potential Super Bowl teams of this moment. If I had to say
rematch, well, might be a rematch.
Could be. But then I look at the schedule. And if you told me that the San Francisco 49ers were going to have two home playoff games to get to the Super Bowl, I'd give them a real good shot because they are really, really good at home.
Right.
I would trust Jimmy G at home much more than I would on the road. But speaking of road, they now have to go to Baltimore. Then they have to go to Drew Brees. And they end up at Russell Wilson.
Who's already beat him.
I know, he already beat him. So, to me, and that was the overtime game at San Francisco on, was it Thursday night, I think it was? So, the point is...
Monday night.
Well, I can't remember which one it was. But the point was that I'm seeing them lose three road games down the stretch.
Wow.
Okay? So, if they lose three, all of a sudden, I don't know. It looks like either New Orleans or Seattle could rise up and have home field advantage for the NFC Championship
You definitely don't want New Orleans to have home field advantage. And Seattle, the 12th man is unbelievable.
Yeah.
But to try to beat them 2 years in a row in that dome, I don't believe they lose 2 years in a row.
Yeah, I don't either. Which brings me back to Lamar Jackson. Obviously, he has revolutionized the quarterback position. He is starting to run away with MVP, and their team has the look of invincible to me. It has all the right ingredients to run to the Super Bowl, but it still looks to me like New England's going to win out.
Yes.
Okay? It got at Texans, then you got your man Mahomes going not homes, but road, right?
Yep.
Your road boy is going to be at New England. I think New England will win those games, and then they have three gimmies to end up the year.
Right.
So if they win out and keep the one game advantage, that would mean the AFC Championship game would be in Foxborough.
Yep.
It's just me right here, right now, and I know I'm still hanging in because I'm a Brady fan, but I just can't see Lamar pulling it off again against New England in Tom's house. I just can't see it. Are they equipped to do it? You better believe they are. Would they go in with great confidence? You know they would.
Yep.
Do the Ravens have a legacy, a history, a tradition of winning in Foxborough in the postseason? They do.
They do.
It's not this team, but it is the history of, right?
It's, you know, everybody talks about the 49ers defense, and it's been exemplary this year. But the Ravens, they're fifth in scoring.
Yep.
They're better than you think. And, you know, they line up those first rounders. Marcus Peters was a first-round draft pick. Marlon Humphrey was a first-round draft pick. Jimmy Smith was a first-round draft pick. Earl Thomas was a first-round draft pick. So they're loading the back end, and they get after the quarterback better than what you would think. Like I said, they don't have the Suggs. Mm-hmm. They don't have the Ray Lewis's, the Ed Reed's. They don't have that type of
big
name.
They don't even have C.J. Mosley anymore.
But
yep.
Those guys play hard.
They play hard, and they play physically on both sides of the ball.
Yep.
So it would be a tough matchup for Tom Brady at home. I just think if you give him a revenge chip on his shoulder, I think he would get even with Lamar in that game.
Yeah, I just trust Lamar. All that being said, I trust Lamar more than I trust Jimmy Garoppolo.
I'll buy that.
At this point, okay. No mercy. Due to a shoulder injury, Kyrie Irving did not travel with the Nets when they faced his former team, the Celtics, in Boston last night. Celtics fans let out several anti-Kyrie chants all night. And after the game, Kyrie posted a 325-word message to Instagram. In the post, he called out fans and the media, calling the coverage of the game, quote, one big gimmick, and saying that life means more than a damn ball going into a hoop. I got thrown off, guys. I don't swear on TV a lot, and I didn't read it right.
Plus, this thing is hard to read.
The quote was, life means more than a damn ball going into a hoop. And yes, it was hard to read on Instagram, but the one and only Michael Rappaport joining us this morning. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
What is your reaction to the post?
Well, first of all, good to be here. Happy Thanksgiving. Shay Shay. Drip. you know, listen, this is, I've been talking about this for years, the skinny genification of the NBA. Kyrie has brought this on himself. Obviously life does mean more than any ball game, but this is a business. It's the business of sport. It's theater. He's one of the stars in a Shakespearean play. There's good guys, there's bad guys. Tom Brady is sometimes a good guy for some people, sometimes he's a bad guy. LeBron, so forth and so on. Kyrie's one of these people. When it's going good, it's all fantastic. Mm-hmm. When it's not going well, you can't complain about it. It is an honor. It is a privilege to be an elite athlete. It's an honor and privilege to have the opportunity to talk about elite athletes. You get it on social media. You get it on social media. I get it on social media. When you put yourself out there, especially in 2019, you're going to get good, bad, and everything in between.
Yep.
Kyrie told these people in Boston, we know how the Boston fans are. Love them, hate them, respect them. They're too much. They're too little. They don't play. You told them you wanted to come back. Mm-hmm. You were signing with them. You brought this on yourself. I don't know what happened in Cleveland. You wanted to be the man. You went to Boston. Not the right place to be the man because they had other young guns that were coming. And when those young guns stepped up to the plate, mm-hmm. you didn't seem happy for them. Mm-hmm. He didn't seem happy
That's
for them.
True.
I don't know if this guy is coachable, whether it's Kenny Atkins, Brad Stevens, Ty Lue. And I'm going to get to your guy, LeBron. But a guy like LeBron who's so focused, he's able to block out all the noise, and he's able to mask the Anthony Davises and feed him. He's able to mask the Kyrie Irving's, his sensitivity. It really shows what a true leader is. You know, he wasn't happy with Brad Stevens. He wasn't happy. You know, I don't think he's going to be good with Kenny Atkins. Spencer Dinwiddie, who's a very not a well-known NBA player. He was just NBA Player of the Week in the Eastern Conference. I love this guy. He's on the verge of being an all-star. It's never going to happen again with Kyrie Irving there. Mm. Spencer will not make an all-star team. He showed last year that he was coming up close to being an all-star. Nice. It won't happen with Kyrie. So he should enjoy being the player of the week. It's not going to happen again. Mm-hmm. He doesn't make anyone better. We don't need to sit here and talk about the magic and the gorgeousness of all his skills. He's a beautiful basketball player. But when you start talking about it's ignorant it's a game, the drama is part of what we love, whether it's do you believe in miracles or down goes Frazier.
Yep.
This, you know, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat, when you have Steph on the corner and you win the game, it's all good. And then when it's not going good, you can't complain about it. What did you expect them to do? You told them you were coming back. Mm. You were the dysfunction in that team, whether it was Brad Stevens and my man coming back, Gordon with the good hair. He wasn't happy for it. And it's not going to change in Brooklyn. And if you think it's bad in Boston and bad in Cleveland,
that's true.
Wait till the New York fans get at you. Because if you start doing this craziness and these Brooklyn fans, they're hungry. Brooklyn people are a different breed. Mm-hmm. When they turn on you, and if they turn on, it's going to be the worst thing you've ever mm-hmm. experienced.
Okay, so before you go, Michael Rappaport, you have many gifts that you display many ways.
I appreciate it.
But at heart, you are an actor. You're a stand-up comic, too, but you're an actor.
Yes.
You were in Mighty Aphrodite, Woody Allen movie, and it won the Academy Award for Mira Sorvino.
Atypical now, season 3.
And Atypical is extraordinary. 3 seasons of Atypical. That is atypical, wouldn't you say?
Right? Yes, absolutely.
Okay, what is acting? It's all about entertaining people, taking them away from their real-life problems.
Right?
It's escape, right?
They don't want to hear about your problem.
They don't want to hear.
Nope.
So again, you're doing what these gifted athletes are doing in another venue.
And so are you guys, to just kind of give a perspective. Right. Like, this is entertainment. People forget that.
In the end, it's entertainment. So go ahead.
Of course, real life matters more than basketball or football.
It does.
Or any sporting event.
We all know that.
We understand that. But the problem is that when Kyrie talks, he comes off as combative and condescending.
Yeah.
Kyrie thinks because he spent one semester at Duke, he's a great philosopher of our times. Kyrie, you're not. Okay, maybe he's dealing with mental health issues, but Brandon Brooks of the Philadelphia Eagles went through a bout, and he came across and explained it, mm-hmm. and people have had empathy, and they had compassion, but he's like, y'all ignorant, because all y'all do is sit out there and watch me put a ball in the hoop, and because I don't do that, y'all mad. Mm. Bruh. People don't know your plight. People don't know your situation. They're looking at you as an entertainer. They're expecting you to come out there on the court and entertain them. And when you're not there, they're going to boo you because you were there. You wanted out. You said you wanted to be there. You didn't want to be in Cleveland anymore. Too much drama. Lo and behold, he was the drama.
Yep.
Everybody thought it was LeBron and Skip, and come to find out. Now, he goes to Boston. Drama follows. Mm-hmm. Now he's in New York, in Brooklyn. Remember, in China, they said he just shut down and everybody's like, well, what's going on with Kyrie? Skip, if you think about this, how many teammates, be it Cleveland or Boston, have ever come to Kyrie's defense and said,
he's misunderstood.
Mm-hmm.
How many?
Kevin Durant. Not a teammate, yeah, but his best friend.
I get the, but Skip, you want to have empathy and you want to have compassion for someone that might be dealing with something.
You do.
But bro, don't come off as combative. Yeah. Don't come off as condescending like you are Michael Eric Dyson or one of these great thinkers or orators of our time. Bro, you're not.
I got it.
And that's how he comes across. I mean, why would you put ignorant when anything that you're trying to explain a situation?
Yeah.
Because they don't know what you're going through, Skip. And guess what? Kyrie, well, if that's the case, you might need to find another profession that doesn't bring on this. Because right now, maybe basketball, because pro sports is a stressful, it's a bottom line business, Skip. Mm-hmm. It's about wins and losses.
Yep.
And maybe the stress that comes along with you being the leader without KD being there,
yep,
is more than you can handle. Mm. You might need to, because there are a lot of people that punch a clock, go 9 to 5, mm-hmm, they don't have, they can't sit down and say, well, I'm dealing with something.
And those,
they
are the
still
people
got
that,
to show up.
And those are the people that were booing. Like, the fans are the fans. Like, the fans are not, you know, it's like we could compare, well, you're getting this much money. The fans are the fans. We come to see a show. And whether you're rooting for the guy or not rooting for the guy, it's like Game of Thrones. There's good guys, there's bad guys. And you know, he made himself the bad guy. You were going to get booed. You didn't show up. You also didn't. The guy, for some strange reason, wasn't there on the bench when that team was a game away from making it to the finals and then said that wasn't good enough. Well, look what you did.
Okay.
So as great as he is, he brings this on himself. And then you think you're saying a lot, but you're really not saying what's going on. If there's something going on, say it.
Say it. It's a lot of talk,
right,
without really addressing it.
Where did he get this font with the,
it's really hard
two
to read,
colors? It's like, what? It's
talking around.
Like,
he's talking around. He's talking
together
around.
This was
and want people to understand what he's so, actually talking about.
So to frame where you were going with this, just to remind people, 2 years ago, without Kyrie Irving, that young Boston team went all the way to the fourth quarter of Game 7 of the conference finals against LeBron's Cavaliers, mm-hmm, and led the game going toward the NBA finals, led with 6 minutes left in the game. They did not win, but that was quite an achievement with no Kyrie in the lineup and no Kyrie, to your point, on the bench. Kyrie comes back for last season in Boston, and it was one of the most disastrous, disappointing seasons given the firepower that they had with all the kids about to become stars, right? It was a big disappointment for Celtic Nation. Then what are we seeing this year? They now have the second best record in the East,
yeah,
had a nice win last night, and Kemba Walker,
yeah,
made a big statement last,
ooh,
night. I am not the poor man's Kyrie Irving. I'm me. I'm Kemba.
He
39. 39. That was a big statement.
And they needed all 39.
They needed all 39. So for, listen, I do appreciate Kyrie is a deep thinker. I know he's not Michael Eric Dyson, but he does have deeper thoughts, which is fine. I respect that. So his first line says that sports as entertainment is ignorant and obtrusive.
Okay. It's totally entertainment.
Okay. So if life, as we all agree, does mean more, and it does mean more to Kyrie, and if he has other issues that are much more important to him than this silly game of shooting a ball through a hoop, God bless you, man. Go on. Leave it. Leave it behind.
Thank you.
It's a free country,
yes,
man. You can walk away.
Yes.
Guaranteed money.
And leave that $34.1 million on the table.
Right.
Because you're not earning it. You don't deserve it. You can't rain on the parade that is paying you $34 million. You can't make fun of this. You can't dismiss it. And then you say that really people should love basketball as an art form. If you do, if that's what you prefer, go to Rucker. Just go play for the love of the game, right?
Yeah, the art form is you.
Yeah.
The entertainer and how you, yeah, handle the ball. Steph Curry shooting the ball,
okay,
is the art, not the game of basketball.
Mm-hmm.
The game of basketball is the canvas in which, yeah, the art is painted on.
Mm-hmm.
Kyrie, come on, bro.
Man.
And it's, you know, sport, like I said it once, but sports is the, one of the only safe havens. And I'm not into fans fighting and other fans, but it's one of the only safe havens as a fan, as a paying customer, as a person at home, where you could love and hate. And it should be fun, love and hate. Whether you love LeBron, can't stand LeBron. Whether you love Tom, yeah, Brady, can't stand. This is part of the fun of it. This is why we eat our popcorn. This is why we drink our sodas.
And trust me on this. there's a game that's going to be played this afternoon. I'm going to take it really seriously. Yeah. Maybe way too seriously, but it means a lot to me.
Yeah.
You're Knicks and why your
we
Giants.
Gotta, why do we got to do that?
I mean, I'm just saying they mean a lot.
No, but we're having a good time. It's Thanksgiving. Know, that was a punch in the face.
Let me ask you a question. When KD was getting ready to leave, it was reported that Steph Curry was going to fly back. We don't know what he was talking about. Okay, how many of Kyrie's ex-Boston Celtics teammates would have gone to Kyrie and talked, bro, we want you back. Come back. You think Jason Tatum, you think Brown, you think any of those guys would have gone to Kyrie and said, we want you back? They couldn't wait for him to leave.
Because he distanced them.
As a matter of fact, they said, we got you a ticket. Yeah. We got you a private jet up out of here.
But he talked all year like it's me and them. I'm the star, and they're trying to be.
He's condescending.
Right? Yeah, I don't know.
And just as a basketball player, gorgeous, beautiful basketball player.
Yes.
But just as a basketball player, a point guard that controls the ball that much and doesn't make the people around them better. Historically, it doesn't win. He's proven to himself and to the world he could score whenever he wants. He can cross over. He could double cross over.
Oh, he danced with it.
But you're not, Spencer Dinwiddie, never going to happen again. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and those guys.
Look at them guys playing now without him.
Okay.
And that's what they got upset about, Skip, because you said it.
Quick left turn back to the unreal world of sports as entertainment. The Los Angeles Lakers played last night at New Orleans. Your thoughts on how it all sort of shook out to you? What did it look like to you? What did it feel like?
Well, they're playing very well. They're playing very well. LeBron, yo, man. Yo. I'm not apologizing.
Apologize.
I listen to you. Oh. Listen, the guy looks great. He's masking the flaws in AD. He's built up AD. They're doing well. Again, it's Thanksgiving. Normally, historically, we don't really get into basketball until Christmas.
We don't.
So this is the pre-regular season, preseason. They're whatever they are. They're doing well.
They're not winning. He's a great player.
You said
Christmas. But I don't remember you saying that when they lost to the Clippers on opening night. You didn't mention anything about Christmas. You didn't mention anything, but we don't normally talk about basketball.
That was just a little check.
Oh, I just want to make sure.
That was a chin check.
So was that basketball then?
No.
Why are we talking about opening day?
It was fine.
And it was Christmas.
It was fine, Shannon.
But guess what happened Christmas?
I'm talking soft. See, I'm almost Shannon, they're not winning a championship.
Don't worry about it.
They're not winning a championship. So we can have a great time now because they have a great team. My guy Kuzma, AD, and LeBron, I got to say, let me just say this. He's a freak. He's unbelievable. The fact that he's doing this 17 seasons, it's going to be great. And you know what's going to be even greater? When we get to April and we see this man crying, groveling, excuses. The rings and things, they're not winning a championship.
When you see me at the parade, I don't want you to say, I can't believe they've done it. I don't want to hear about how great he is. I don't want to hear none of that.
Oh, no, they're not going to win a championship. It's a long season. They're not winning a championship. They're not even making it to the finals. And who have they played? They've had a nice schedule. Things are going to get real when Giannis is starting to come. Who else?
We'll see Giannis.
We'll see Giannis. I can't wait.
But see, I keep telling you, we don't play anybody. They play us. We're the headliners.
Who
is Eddie Murphy opening? Okay, a comedy gig right now. Who is Eddie Murphy opening for?
No.
Who Jerry Seinfeld opening for?
No.
We're Jerry Seinfeld. We're Eddie Murphy.
Okay.
Everybody else open up for
Eddie
us.
Eddie and Jerry have rough nights too, and those rough nights
That's
are coming.
Us.
Those rough.
That's
you're
us.
Like,
LeBron James.
You're bragging about being the New Orleans team.
LeBron James is Eddie Murphy in Seinfeld. Mm. He the creme de la creme.
Mm.
He the zenith. He the apex, the denouement. Tell him, Skip.
Get French, Shay.
All I want to say about this is there was no Zion last night. There was no Zoe last night. There was really no B.I. last night because he shot 4 for 21.
That's what LeBron still took
every last drop for you guys to survive.
Every last drop.
And all we was doing was just feeding AD, just standing around. We didn't have the ball jumping. But once the fourth quarter, that ball started jumping, what happened? We put a 35 spot on him and walked him down from 10. Mm. When the ball started jumping...
There was how many turnovers by your guy in the fourth quarter?
Oh, four.
Four.
There were four.
And he'll probably be able to recount them all word for word, play for play.
15 points, 5 assists, down 5. 20 out of 35 points. We just had our hands matched in the dish.
Shay, if they do not win a championship, is this season a disappointment?
Every season, LeBron doesn't win a championship.
Okay, well, this one is a disappointment.
All right.
And I bet the Mountain Dew, the honey glazed ham that I'm glazing at the crib right now.
You ain't glazing
cranberry sauce, whatever. Oh, yeah.
You ain't glazing jack.
I'm kind of jealous. No mercy.
Dak Prescott hit Jason Witten for an early TD yesterday against the Bills, but it was downhill from there. The Cowboys QB was sacked four times, threw a pick, and lost one of two fumbles on the way to a 26-15 loss. The Cowboys have now lost three of their last four and sit at 500, 6-6. Shannon, has Dak now also lost leverage in his contract negotiations?
Dak Prescott has lost zero leverage because the situation is exactly the same at the start of the season. Dak Prescott holds all the cards. For the simple fact, Skip, he knows what the going rate is for a starting quarterback and what other option do they have. They believe they have a team assembled that can get to and win a Super Bowl. So you're willing to say, okay, no, Dak, you go see what you can get on the open market and then come back and visit us. See, now what they're going to probably do is franchise them and it's going to be bad blood. Now, I told you all along from things that I was hearing, Dak was unwilling to give them that hometown discount that Stephen Jones and Jerry Jones tried to poison the water and say, well, if he don't give us a discount, he doesn't care about winning. Dak says, the reason why I don't want to give y'all this, why I'm not going to give you the discount, because all these guys, Travis Frederick, Zach Martin, Tyron Smith, D-Law, they got big dollars to begin with. The highest paid left tackle at one point was Tyron Smith. Highest paid center, highest paid guard was those guys on the Cowboys. Dak said, I was a fourth rounder. I'm just not starting to make some money. And plus, Skip, you know why he's even more justified? No matter how bad I've played, tell me I played worse than Jared Goff have this year. And he just got 100.
Throw Carson Wentz in that conversation.
I'm not talking about Carson Wentz.
He got his money.
I mentioned the guy that I wanted to mention.
You stir that pot.
So, Jared and Steven, you know, it's y'all gonna be y'all job to figure this out. But Dak, the going rate, Skip, is $30 to $35 million, and he's gonna want Jerry Goff type signing bonus.
Okay, I want to remind everyone that the Hall of Famer across from me has given Dak Prescott an F multiple times this year, including the last 2 weeks at New England and versus Buffalo.
Yeah, but he deserves the money.
And at New England, you gave him triple F. I don't even know, is that a G or an H? I don't know what it is. But the point is, a lot of people are still suspicious of Dak Prescott. They're not sure he is that guy, that franchise quarterback. I've been sold from his rookie year forward. But I'm here to tell you, his performance through this year, it's been a long, hard year. It can't have helped his bargaining power. It could only slightly hurt because he did bet on himself. And right now, there's a big glaring 6-6 on his bargaining power. 6-6. And unfortunately or fortunately, I always tell you, this is a quarterback's game. So in the end, he's going to have to take the brunt of the blame for 6-6. So I'm going to throw at you quickly all the big pluses that his team could argue on his behalf in negotiations. They are, he leads the whole NFL in yards passing. He's third in touchdown passes and third in QBR as we speak. He's also first in completions for first downs. That's pretty great. First in air distance. So you can't do dink and dak. He's throwing it farther down the field than anybody in the whole game. He's first in 20-plus yard completions. That's pretty great, right? He's also first in what are deemed catchable passes. All through this game yesterday, those are all firsts. But he might be last in key plays made in key games, right? He might be dead last because I'm the first to give it up. As much as I love him, there are moments in all those six losses, there have been some moments in games they barely survived, where he didn't make that play at that moment to win that game. Am I right about that? And we've both been going back and forth. How can that help your bargaining power? I don't know. Because listen, Jerry and Steven are going to be tough negotiators.
Well, do that. I'm going to say, okay, well, I'll tell you what to do. Jerry and Steven, don't even worry about it. Just let me hit the open market. And we'll see. You go get you the quarterback that you can have on a rookie contract. Well,
but you know what's going to happen.
They're going to franchise him.
It's going to be Kirk Cousins City. Here we go. Dallas is going to be just like Kirk Cousins was in Washington for
Dak Prescott. But the thing is, Skip, when you but that money, so it's going to be what, 20 somewhere between $28 and $30 million.
It seems like it was up toward 34 or something like that.
Well, I think the second year. So you look at, so you want $30 million, Skip, and a quarterback in your cap. So that's what it's going to be. And you can't see, the thing is, when you sign him to that franchise number, Skip, you don't prorate that over the line because it's 1 year. So all that money is in 1 year. You do it again, it's $34, $35 million. Skip, you would have given him $65 million in 2 years. So you might as well just go ahead and buy, Skip.
Okay, but wait a second. If you're Jerry Jones, would you do it? If you could put Shannon Sharpe's sort of point of view in Jerry Jones' body.
Because I don't have no choice.
Okay.
I don't have a choice.
Well, you'd go home then saying, I got an F quarterback, right?
No. Because I would have been running Zeke. That's what I would have been doing.
Also, you just make him irrelevant
in
the process.
I'm going to run Zeke more.
You pay him $40 million just to hand off.
No. I'm going to run Zeke more than what they've been using. But I'm not going to interfere. What I hired Jason Garrett for. That's what I hired these guys for. I'm not going to be every time they lose a game, well, you know I'm thinking about making changes. I said, within my purview, I hired all them coaches and all them players and all that. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
See, I'd be more like Mr. Kraft.
Okay. So the flip side of this is for the first three games, I thought it was working for Jerry not to go ahead and sort of cave in and sign him to a big deal during the year or even during camp, because the first three games were so sensational. I thought he is great, Dak Prescott, at playing for a deal.
Yeah.
Well, lately, he's getting more and more desperate in his decision making, which is not great for my football team.
What happens if this guy throws for 5,000 and leads the league? So leading the league in passing yards and touchdown passes.
Yeah.
How in the hell are you going to say that? Nah, we can't pay you that.
Because Jerry can say, Shannon Sharpe's giving him F's.
Nah, don't worry about Shannon.
Well, I'm serious. Yeah. He would. We got a Hall of Famer, Shannon Sharpe. Yeah. He's on TV giving him F's.
Yeah, Dak says, that's right. He on TV. That's why he on TV in the front office. Great. Mercy.
Carson Wentz struggled all game against the Seahawks. The Eagles QB had over 250 yards through the air and a touchdown, but Wentz also threw two picks and coughed the ball up two other times. The four total turnovers is a career worst for Wentz. And the Eagles are now 5-6, but remain one game behind the Cowboys in the division. So, Shannon, how much faith do you have in the Eagles winning the NFC East?
Well, I'm still confident because the Cowboys is what's in first place. And you already know how they do things, Skip Bayless. You know.
How do they do? They win the division.
They don't win nothing. They haven't won anything.
Two of the last 3 years.
They should have won this division. Uh-huh. This division should have already been over. If they were what you said they were. If Dak is what you said he is.
Yep.
But they're not. So I feel very confident that they can still win this division. Now, again, Wentz, you called him bounce it to it, skip it to him. He was doing exactly what
he said. Or give it to him.
Yeah, he was definitely giving it to him yesterday, Skip. He didn't play well. And the interceptions are inexcusable because he's trying to fit balls in where there's no one. I mean, the defender is between him and his receiver, and he's still trying to make those throws. And Skip, I'm afraid that he's losing confidence because we can talk about who's not there. D-Jack was inactive. Alshon was inactive. Mm-hmm. Aguilar was inactive. Mm-hmm. Jordan Howard was inactive. But the guys that worked
was Jadeveon Clowney. But go ahead.
No, but I'm saying from his point of view,
I got it.
The guys that were there, when they were open, he was throwing the ball. I mean, he had the running back that was wide open for a touchdown.
Can we see that? I want to see that. It's on the first drive. It's what turned into a field goal drive. And
he threw
Miles
it up
Sanders.
He threw it up in his
doing?
Hands. I'm like,
what are you doing, Carson? Wait, that missed by 10 yards.
That was weird.
What are you doing?
I'm like,
What?
What is that?
I don't know. That sort of set the tone for the rest of the day.
Yes.
A tough start.
Okay.
And so I don't particularly care about who wasn't there. Sure, I'm sure he would have loved to have those guys. But the guys that are there, you got to put them in position. And he was not accurate. And a lot of this, and even on the fourth down play, I think it was 4th and 3, the last one to Arthego Whiteside. Skip, his footwork is terrible. Accuracy is tied to footwork. You watch his footwork, just watch it. And that's what I did. I wanted to make sure because if your footwork is not impeccable in these type conditions, you get really exposed and you see what happens. You start spraying the ball all over the field.
Yep.
And because his footwork is atrocious, this is what happened. But because this is the Cowboy that has the lead and they're not out of the woodwork because this division should have been over a long, long time ago. But because this is the Cowboys, they still have a chance. All they got to do, I believe they win out. Went out, but they still got to hope the Cowboys win too because the Cowboys have the better conference record. Because if they win out, they'll have one loss in the division to Dallas. And if Dallas lose to them, they'll have one loss in the division, but it comes back, not comes to conference. And Dallas has a better conference. So they need to lose two games in order for the Eagles to catch up.
So
I'm confident they can do that.
I'm going to give you this. The Eagles have what most people rate as the easiest closing schedule in all the NFL. It goes at Miami.
Dub.
New York Giants.
Dub.
At Washington.
Dub.
Yikes.
Twice.
Dwayne Haskins, what's he doing?
Taking selfies.
Oh, you got to take a selfie.
What are you doing, Dwayne?
That was so
he was
bad.
Really shaky. I know he had 2 field goal drives, and the second one finally won the game, but that's just wrong.
Wrong. Hold on, you're supposed to be taking a snap, right? Victory formation.
You're going to snap, all right.
Oh, my bad.
Snap that camera, right? With fans in the stands?
Really?
What?
Let you know where it's at. As I told you, that's what social media do for you.
So that's at Washington. Then here come the Cowboys, and that'll be the be-all, end-all.
Yeah,
they have to finish at Danny Dimes, and you don't know, maybe he'd light them up that game.
Oh, that's what you hope. I wanted to, can I go ahead and get, like, I want to put, like, 20 cases on there. I want to go all or nothing. I'm down 42, but I need 20.
Three. 43, you lost one yesterday.
Big bets.
He's back to 43.
I'm down 43 cases. I need at least 20.
Nope, I got five on it. That's what we bet before. No, I'm not going to do it.
Skip!
Well, you got the easiest closing schedule in football.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about us against you.
Yeah, I got it. But you got the easy, it's cakewalk for you.
Y'all still got Washington, too. He might be taking a picture with Dak on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
He might be. All I know is that once and for all, it has been proven Dak Prescott is better than Carson Wentz.
Really?
He will be.
You feel comfortable saying that after yesterday?
I definitely do.
Oh.
And the point is, the Carson Wentz I'm seeing continues to press harder and harder, and he's crumbling right before your very eyes. He is coming apart psychologically for all the points that you made about footwork, and he's trying too hard to fit balls in, and I'm seeing deer in headlights. And I told you going into this season, no quarterback, especially a young quarterback, has more pressure on his shoulder pads than this one because of the guy who came before him who's not there anymore. And I know Nick Foles isn't doing much for Jacksonville, but he did a whole lot for Philadelphia. He'll never have to buy himself a drink again in the city of brotherly love because he's the Super Bowl MVP. He hung 41 on Bill Belichick, and that's all that anybody really cares about and remembers. Mm. And all of a sudden, Carson Wentz has become the ultimate turnover machine in the NFL.
He's terrible.
You can't keep coughing it up like that because he coughed up two fumbles, but there was a third one that he lost on a sack fumble that got negated by an earlier defensive holding call.
Right.
So it could have been easily five.
He's real careless with the football in the pocket.
I don't get it. He's trying too hard to make the play, and he can't seem to find anybody open. And that's why I've always called him Carson, W-I-N-C-E, Wentz, as in ouch. Because you just look up, and I just kind of, it's like clockwork. Well, he's going to turn it over.
Well, your guy didn't do too much better. Mm-hmm. R-E-I-G-N.
Rain?
Yeah.
Dakota Rain?
Yeah.
I had to think about that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, how was he yesterday? In the elements. He's supposed to be one of the elements.
He was R-A-I-N yesterday, right? That's all he was. He was Rain Dakota.
But look, even that being said, Skip, you would have thought that the Cowboys could have already buried the Eagles by now had they taken care of their business. But because they haven't, the Eagles still like, oh, yes, we haven't played well, but we're only a game behind.
Yeah, but you didn't take care of yours either. You lost to Detroit at home.
Yeah,
how about that? You lost at Atlanta.
They didn't lose to the Jets. You lost to the Jets.
Well, I got it. I just told you. It feels like somebody's going to finish 8-8 and win this division.
Well, it's probably gonna be us.
Yeah.
No, we're going to be nine. No, we're going to be, hold on. We got five games left. We can be 10-6.
Well, I'm going to give you this also. Your Eagles defense has come back together, and the front seven is fierce. And they put it on Russell Wilson.
What about that back four?
Well, it's getting better. It's getting healthier and better.
Yep, you do know DK Metcalf dropped the touchdown.
He did.
And he dropped another throw up the sideline.
I agree. Mm-hmm. He did.
Now, Russell did miss one. He missed the tight end, Hollister, wide open in the end zone. He overshot him.
Russell Wilson got sacked six times yesterday. And because he barely threw for 200 yards, and remember, 38 of them came on a flea flicker. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't throw the ball very well. They ran the heck out of it because Rashad Penny came out of nowhere, out of the doghouse, I guess, and he had 14 carries for 129 yards. But other than that, they didn't muster much offense. And his QBR, Russell Wilson's, was terrible. It was 16.
But guess who? He in front of Dak, ain't he?
Russell Wilson is just barely ahead of him.
I don't know about that, just barely.
Is he just barely? I think he's just barely.
But what can I?
Dak is third now.
Can I interest you?
Yeah. In fact, I think he's behind Dak.
Who number one?
Yeah. My homeboy. He's the only one who didn't play.
My homeboy. My homeboy's back where he should be, which I told you he would be.
So he backed into it is what he did.
Can I interest you in 24-3? Yeah. 24 tubs, three picks.
Hmm.
And he's unbeaten on the road. I mean, he hadn't lost the game on the road.
Mm.
Nobody can see him.
It's pretty good.
He's the first quarterback. He skipped a historical. He loved historical perspective.
You know Russell Wilson is the first guy to have a winning record his first 8 seasons in the NFL in 100-year history. That NFL always flashes that 100. Mm. No other quarterback can boast what he can.
But the first, 5 years he had the Legion of Boom?
Don't
That'll
do
help.
That. Don't do that.
Well, do
don't
it.
Don't do it.
I didn't do it. They did it.
Well, you didn't do it. People didn't say that about Terry Bradshaw when he had Joe Green, Mel Blunt.
I think they did. I think they did. But I don't think he didn't get nearly enough credit. He won 4 Super Bowls.
I know, and that's why. Okay. Because they say all these great players.
Well, then it was like Lynn Swann, John Stallworth.
Franco. Right?
Franco.
Mike Webster, they had a great team. But we talk about Russ.
Yeah.
That's the very guy, Russell Wilson, the guy that you said you would take Dak Prescott over. Mm. But that's not what we're talking about right now.
I think he slipped in the MVP race.
I don't think he slipped at all.
I think he slipped.
I think he slipped.
Barely had 200 yards. Woo.
Hold on. Your guy, Your guy had 212 yards and caught an L.
Okay, it wasn't raining in Philadelphia.
It was windy.
It was not windy.
Yeah, they
asked Pam Oliver down on the field early in the game, is it windy down there, Pam? Not really. Maybe there's a little gust
windy. Skip, so what? It wasn't a Category 5.
No.
Okay?
It wasn't windy. It was windy last Sunday when Brady was there.
Oh, so that was...
it was blowing like... Well, they said it was like 40 miles an hour.
Not no 40. You know
what? Doesn't mind the conditions.
You know what? But all I'm saying is that because of the Cowboys, the Eagles should already been done. Guys should already be scheduling tea times and going to Tahiti and all that other place. Mm. Because they're the Cowboys, that's why the Eagles say, we're 1 game back. Mm. I'll tell you what, this is what we're going to do. Mm. We're going to win 1 game at a time, which I believe will be 5 in a row, and then we'll sit back and see what the Cowboys do.
We're going to win 1 game at a time, starting with Buffalo, and then 1 game at Chicago, and then 1 game against the Rams, then 1 game at Philly, then 1 game against Dwayne Haskins, and we'll be good.
Well, I know is this. Thurman Thomas is going to give the pep talk. Mm. Thurman, get him right up there. Mm. Huh. Let's go, Buffalo. Really? Mm. A little bit softer than that.
I think Frank Gore could give him a pep talk because he's...
Oh, man, Frank Gore.
Hey, that was all time.
Can you believe that?
Yep.
Wow.
No mercy.
Yep. Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Monday for another week of Undisputed. We'll see you then.
Facts. Sports. One of one. Of one.